Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp is here reviewing the results of our survey on the response to the OPM cyber hack, and the news is not good as I look at those numbers for the Office of Personnel Management, is it, Emily?
No, absolutely not. And what we did was we had an online survey on federalnewsradio.com, put it up late last week, just closed it yesterday, and got a lot of responses from federal employees or former federal employees, or those who said they didn't work for the government but had security clearances. So among the pool of people affected by these two breaches on OPM cyber networks, overwhelmingly, they do not trust this same agency, the Office of Personnel Management, to provide services to make them whole. And in fact, 78% said they were not confident at all. 21% said they were somewhat confident in OPM's ability to provide the appropriate protections. Only 1.5% said that, yes, they were very confident.
It really fits with what I'm seeing anecdotally as far as how people are responding to the response. And there is a tremendous, tremendous undercurrent of it goes beyond unhappiness. The emotion really is anger at not only the fact that the hack happened in the first place, but the way that hack has happened and the real lack of transparency, the opaqueness with which the agency has responded, even to the agencies. You know, Colleen Kelly of the NTEU was on the program even before they talked about the lawsuit that they've now filed that you reported on quite well, saying she's interacting with the agencies and they don't have any better information than we in the media have.
No, and in fact, I was at a conference yesterday hosted by GovLoop, so for young federal employees mostly, and one of the cybersecurity experts there who works for the Department of Homeland Security said that there's a joke going around DHS that they're all going to revert to paper for security clearance applications. I mean, this is the agency that is tasked with securing .gov networks and recognizing the scope of this breach and the impact that it's having on not only the people involved, but the entire government-wide security clearance system.
You've got a piece up on federalnewsradio.com with some of the other results from the survey. What are some of the other things that are particularly noteworthy, Emily?
Well, I think that one of the questions we asked, and this gets to the question of trust in OPM, is who do you blame for this? And people were most likely to say OPM's entire IT team, followed by its current chief information officer, Donna Seymour. But what I thought was interesting was that they were more likely to say that Congress was to blame than Catherine Archuleta, the former OPM director who resigned just a few days ago. They said, you know, she's been scapegoated and these problems are two decades in the making. The agency doesn't have the cybersecurity expertise, they say, or the money to do this right. And perhaps another agency such as the CIA or the FBI would be better equipped to safeguard this sensitive personal information of people who have applied for security clearances or work for the government or used to work for the government than the Office of Personnel Management.
Yeah, there certainly has been an undercurrent of conversation about when we have cybersecurity expertise, such as we have at the National Security Agency and at Homeland Security, why every individual agency is doing their own cybersecurity. What else did we learn from this survey of quite a few current former feds and feds who are non-feds who have security clearances?
Well, we asked people about whether or not they had taken advantage of the credit monitoring and identity theft protection services that OPM is offering. They're offering that to those victims of the personnel database breach through a contractor, CSID. And then they say they intend to offer similar services to those who have been impacted by the security clearance database. So we asked people if they intended to or if they had already taken advantage of the services and then what they thought. And interestingly, despite the fact that most say they do not trust OPM's ability to provide these services and protect them, they're still going to take advantage of them. And those who have already done so said that CSID, the contractor, they complained about the same things that we've been hearing about for weeks, saying that they tried to get through to CSID on the phone, but couldn't do it, or the website was not working for them, or they didn't know anything about this company and thought that it was just the lowest bidder. Mm-hmm. So we put some of these questions to CSID, nothing new than what's been hearing before. And what the executives told us today was that the average hold time as of Tuesday of this week was just 1 minute and 4 seconds. And they're saying, you know, if you call, you should be able to get through right away. So that's the latest that they're telling us. But it's not what people through the survey have been experiencing. They've been saying that they're very frustrated. They don't know this company. They don't trust it. One of the things that they're saying about CSID's services is that they feel really hesitant to put all of their personal sensitive information into a form so CSID can offer the credit monitoring. And this was brought up at a panel that I hosted again at this GovLoop conference, in which a security expert at NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, Celia Paulson, said to people, you know, you're right to think twice.
The thing is most of that personal information is voluntary to give to them. The credit monitoring stuff, you have to give them a certain amount of information in order to get the credit monitoring. It then offers you a bunch of other things, such as it will monitor your bank accounts, it will monitor a whole bunch of things if you ask it to. Now, some people, and I'm not saying whether this is good or bad, some people are afraid that that's putting a heck of a lot of information in one place. If that's the case, you don't have to. You can go to other places and do the same thing. You can do it yourself.
You can do it yourself, but it's not free, and it's not paid for by theoretically the responsible party. That finding in our survey that you mentioned a moment ago, that people are not sure that they trust the system, but they're going to do it anyway, reminded me of the old adage, if the only umbrella you have in a rainstorm has a hole in it, you use it anyway. I mean, it's not the best option that you have, but you do the best you can with what you've got.
But one thing I thought was very telling at that panel that I went to, Paulson and the other expert on the panel, Christina Dorvier of DHS, she is in charge of Cybersecurity Awareness Month and a whole bunch of other things. Both of them said, look, I cannot speak for the government, but I personally would not do this. Would not take part in this offering by CSID. I thought that was incredibly revealing that these people who know so much about cybersecurity are saying, you know, it might be better to do it yourself. Check those financial statements every Saturday, even though it's a pain, or research other options that you might have to pay for or that are free. But really question whether or not you should be giving this sensitive information of yours to CSID. And what somebody I thought wisely commented in the report, they said, you know, I feel like that's going to be the hacker's next target, is this database that this company is keeping of all the same information of these people.